أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد My dear brothers and sisters, respected elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته One of the topics which are very important for us to discuss wherever we meet is a topic which is concerned with the upbringing of our children. قضية تربية الأولاد من أهم القضايا ومن أهم المواضيع التي يجب أن لا ننساها. This very topic, this very important topic is the one which if you go to any community, you can determine what kind of a community is that by looking at the children. When it comes to the issue of adhering to the Islamic teachings, and you can be able to know whether the parents are spending prime time with their children or not by looking at the children of a community. قضية التربية من أهم القضايا التي الآباء عليهم أن يسرفوا من أوقاتهم الثمين ليهتموا بتربية الأولاد وتربية الأطفال حيث التربية من أهم القضايا التي إذا نسيناها فسوف تكون المجتمع أو سوف يكون المجتمع في مشاكل ومشاكل نقرأ في القرآن الكريم في سورة التوبة السورة التاسعة الآية الرابعة والعشرين حيث يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين هذه الآية من الآيات التي الله سبحانه وتعالى حينما نقرأها كأنه يقول لنا أو يتكلم معنا بكل صراحة أن هناك حب الله وهناك حب الرسول وهناك تلك الأشياء التي تتعلق بحب الله ورسوله ونحن علينا أن نقول بكل صراحة هل نحن مع أولئك الذين يحبهم الله أو عكس ذلك وإذا طبعا كما تقول الآية إذا كنا نحن نميل إلى الآخرين الذين ليس لهم علاقة بالله سبحانه وتعالى فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمر هذا فتربصوا هناك تهديد من الله سبحانه وتعالى حيث العذاب والويل سوف يأتي إلينا Brothers and sisters, when we look at this ayah number 24 of surah number 9, the ayah is so strong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks to us about the relationship between us and others, He is very bold in saying, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاهُكُمْ Say, if your parents وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ and your children وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ and your brothers could be brothers and sisters وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ and your spouses husbands and wives وعشيرتكم and your tribes and your clans وأموال اقترفتموها and the wealth you, which you accumulate or you gain وتجارة تخشون كسادها and the business merchandise which you fear that it will be destroyed and if your houses, your dwellings all these things if they are more beloved to you than Allah min Allah wa rasulihi and his messenger and jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then wait until Allah brings his affair. This wait here, it's a promise from Allah to tell us calamities and problems will come to us if we are not careful with our attitude towards our brothers, our fathers, mothers, children, wives, husbands, our dwellings, our businesses, our houses. If we are not careful and our love toward these things is more than Allah and Rasulullah and jihad fi sabilillah, definitely calamities and problems will come to us. Today, when you look at the world which is known as Europe and even some places in America, you see the biggest cry of many people is the children. You take, for example, a case of UK. Many old people fear to go outside their houses alone. They fear. The biggest fear is from them that they say if we go out, we will be attacked by young people. And truly speaking, there are many young people who have been jailed because they attack old people. Until you have an institution which is known as young offenders, where young people are taken to those jails. Why? Because they cannot be taken to the adults' prisons. So they are taken there. What's the reason? Akhlaq is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling us we need to be careful with the relationship between us and our parents and all of them. But mainly our children, we need to make sure that we are much aware about their tarbiyah. Today, I want to talk about a very interesting story of a son, a young man, who was raised by Imam Amirul Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. This young man is known as Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Muhammad, son of Abu Bakr. Which Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr bin Abi Quhafa. Abu Bakr, who was the first Khalifa of Muslims. Abu Bakr married a woman by the name Asma bint Umais. And Abu Bakr married this lady. They lived together. And Abu Bakr passed away. So the woman was without any husband. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen married Asma. But before was married by Abu Bakr, Asma was married by Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Ali bin Abi Talib. Said the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib. Ja'far married this lady, Asma. They lived together in Makkah and then they did hijrah together to Habasha. You remember the first hijrah of Muslims? So Ja'far was the head of that group of early Muslims to go to Habasha. Asma was one of the immigrants who went to live in Habasha. They stayed in Habasha until the fifth year of hijrah. When Muslims migrated from Makkah to Medina, Ja'far stayed in Habasha. The second year, the third year, until the fifth year, Ja'far migrated from Habasha to Medina. That was just after the Battle of Khaybar. And Muslims conquered Khaybar. As you know, Imam Amirul Mu'mineen was the biggest reason for the fort of Khaybar to be captured by Muslims. So the Holy Prophet was so happy. When he returned to Medina, Ja'far bin Abi Talib came with the wife Asma to Medina. Rasulullah was so happy. Till Sahaba, they said, we have never seen Rasulullah being happy like that. And the Holy Prophet made a very important statement, and he said, I don't know for which victory shall I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be happy for. Is it for the winning of Khaybar or for Qudumi Ja'far? Is it because Ja'far has come back from Habasha, or is it because we have managed to win the battle of Khaybar? Now, Ja'far came, he stayed with Rasulullah in Medina until the battle of Mu'ta took place. Mu'ta. When they went there, and according to others, they say, when Ja'far went there, he lost his life there with other companions. So Asma bint Umais was a widow. Abu Bakr married this particular lady. They stayed with Abu Bakr, and at the end of the life of the Holy Prophet, Asma gave birth to a baby boy, and they named him Muhammad. And this Muhammad became to be known as Muhammad, son of Abu Bakr. Now Abu Bakr lived until 2 years after the death of the Holy Prophet. He passed away. When he died, Imam Amirul Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam married Asma. So Asma, if you look at her life, you can see that she was married 3 times. Number 1, by Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Number 2, by Abi Bakr. And number 3, by Imam Amirul Mu'mineen. You look at the life of Asma bint Umais, they say, the historians, that she was a sahabiyah, a companion of Rasulullah, not only just a companion, but she was one of the scholars among the women of the group of Sahaba. She knew Islam very well, and she used to teach people, and she was a great mu'mina. Her relationship with Ahlul Bayt was so strong. علاقتها مع أهل البيت كانت قوية جدا وكانت موالية لأهل البيت عليهم السلام. You see the relationship between her and the other family members of Ahlul Bayt, you see it very strong. And you look at the books of history, they will tell you that when Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha was about to die, Asma bint Umais was there with Lady Fatima. She was the one who was receiving the instructions from Lady Fatima to take care of Imamain al-Hasan wal-Husayn and the children of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and she was there until Lady Fatima passed away. And she was always there to serve Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha. Now, we understand that when you look at the story of this lady, they say that she is known for her self-dignity. Self-dignity. And she lived with Imam Amirul Mu'mineen until at the age, the year 40 of AH, she passed away after the death of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayha. Now, when you look at the way she took care of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, when she used to be the wife of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, they two together managed to raise this child as one of the exemplary children of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen. You look at the statements, the attitude of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen towards Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, you come to know that Imam Amirul Mu'mineen used to say, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr is my son. And I love Muhammad. Why? Because he used to be a child full of akhlaq, obedient to the parents, and obedient to Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, when he became, of course, in charge of the whole army of Muslims, after the death of Uthman, they captured Egypt. When Egypt was captured, Imam Amirul Mu'mineen sent Muhammad bin Abi Bakr to be the governor of Egypt. And Muhammad bin Abi Bakr used to take care of Egypt. Then problems came from Syria. Muawiyah sent the army to go and cause trouble to Egypt. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen decided to bring Muhammad bin Abi Bakr back to Medina, and he said, not because I found you to be a weak person, no, it's because I want to give you other chances for you to go and practice your Iman in those areas. When you look at Nahjul Balagha, you find that there's a letter number 27 in Nahjul Balagha. Very important for us to think about this letter. Instructions to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr when appointed governor of Egypt. The letter says, O Muhammad, son of Abu Bakr, remember that I have entrusted you with the commander of most important section of my army, which is Egyptian. Do not allow your whims and passions to overrun your judgment. Keep on guarding and defending your religion and the state given under your trust. Take care that not for a single moment in your life you incur the wrath of Allah to gain the pleasure of any person. Look at these wordings here. Imam says, take care that not for a single moment in your life you incur the wrath of Allah to gain the pleasure of any person. Remember that the pleasure of Allah can substitute the pleasure of everybody else, and it will be the most beneficial substitute for you. But his pleasure cannot be substituted by anything. And then Imam Amirul Mu'mineen talks about the issue of salah. This is his son. He raised him while he was young. He said, offer your prayers on time. Offer your prayers on time. Do not rush through them and never delay in offering them. Then he says, remember that piety and nobleness of all your activities are subject to sincerity and punctuality of your prayers. Subhanallah. From the father who cares to the son, he nurtured him for him to be a leader of the community. You look at the same letter in Arabic, it says, from the place where it starts, that know, O Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, Imam Amirul Mu'minin says, wa'alam ya Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, qad wallaytuka a'zama ajnadi fi nafsi ahla Misr, fa anta mahqukun an tukhalifa ala nafsik wa an tunafiha an dinik ولو لم يكن إلا ساعة من الدهر ولا تسخط الله برضا أحد من خلقه فإن الله خلفا من غيره وليس من الله خلف في غيره صل الصلاة لوقتها المؤقت صل الصلاة لوقتها المؤقت لها ولا تعجل وقتها لفراغ ولا تؤخرها عن وقتها لاشتغال واعلم أن كل شيء من عملك تبع لصلاتك واعلم أن كل شيء من عملك تبع لصلاتك. شوف هذا من الأب الذي يهتم لابنه الذي هو يجهزه أن يكون واحدا من القادة في المستقبل حتى لا ينسى قضية الصلاة. When we look at this letter, brothers and sisters, we come to know that Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, you would think that maybe he would be so soft with his children when it comes to the issues which are to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is not the case. He knows that this is my son and I will have to be so strong with my son. Of course, the time of pleasure, we will be there. But when it comes to the issue of talking about Allah's affairs, he was so firm to tell him that you need to be careful about this and that. And this takes us to another point where when we look at the way we bring our children up, We find that some of us, we will be very lenient. Sometimes we think we love them when we don't order them to do that which is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are fooling ourselves. And sometimes, unfortunately, like one case happened in UK, a Muslim family, when we take our children to the academic schools, they feed them lunch or dinner, the way they call them. One family, they knew that in that particular school, the school serves food which is non-halal, and in it there is pork. The school cares if you care. But in that case, the family said, well, no problem, let them eat whatever they want to eat. They were feeding them pork with other types of food. Some parents went to talk to their friends. You know, the school is feeding our children something which is haram. You know what the parent says? Well, don't worry, they are no baligh. Until when they become baligh, then Sharia will follow them. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is from the parents who don't care. It means that you are ready to make your children to eat any haram stuffs until when they become baligh, when then you will start making them follow Islam. That is wrong. It is like the girls in our community. If we don't ask them and train them and show love to them for them to wear hijab while they were very young, and you wait until they become baligh, they will not wear it properly. Similarly with the issue of fasting and salah and so on and so forth. But there is one thing which is very important, and that is we teach by example. Not just to force them. Force will not work. You teach by example. You as parents, your children see you pray. They see you read Quran. They see you are there, you give in sadaqah. They will do it because why? They will say, our fathers, our mothers used to do this way, and that's why we want to imitate our fathers. And even sometimes they will not say anything. They will do it because you do it. Now, in the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 11. Yusikumullah fi awladikum. Allah is commanding you to be good to your children. All of them. Girls as well as boys. We have one problem within our communities. Sometimes we look at our girls and we want them to do all types of work in our houses. Boys, let them relax. They are boys. You don't need to give them anything to do. That is injustice. You look at the children of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen. You see Lady Zainab. If you think Zainab was spoiled by Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, then you're wrong. If Imam Amirul Mu'mineen would spoil Zainab, wouldn't give her all the instructions to do a lot of work, Zainab wouldn't stand there in Sham in front of Yazid to talk about the rights of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. These are the issues which we need to remember. And it will be shame for us as followers of Ahlul Bayt if we have our children and they don't follow the example of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And this idea of boys being not given work to do, only girls can do work in our houses, and some parents will even talk that girls need to work. Boys, no, that wallah is wrong. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, talks to him when he knows that this is the time I need to give my commands to my son. He was there. Another example is of Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, which inshallah, hopefully one day we will talk about this particular issue. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and Abul Fadl al-Abbas, all the children of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, from young age you see them there. Whatever command their father gives them, they will be ready to perform it. And this is the way we need to raise our children. Our children are not dolls. They are not like there for us to play with them only. We have a mission every time when we say, Allahumma kul li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. We want to prepare the army of good people. They're not going to wage any war. The army of good people who will be there, if anything happens to the adults, the young people will come and say, we are here. We are ready to carry the flag of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah Aliyun Waliyullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Muhammad. And that's why when we look at the examples of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, we are learning many lessons here. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we have this issue. If I marry, for example, a woman with children, and I will have my children as well with that woman, sometimes I become so biased. I look only at my children, and I don't look at the children of that particular wife. This is wrong Islamically. Look at the example of Imam Amirul Mu'minin. He would say, well, Abu Bakr is Abu Bakr, and we know Abu Bakr. The relationship between Imam Ali and Abu Bakr. But he said, no. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr is my son, and I will take care of Muhammad. And really, Muhammad Abi Bakr, he becomes to be a proper Shia of Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. Why? It's because of our taking care of our children. And this is the lesson which we want to learn. Those brothers who are married, other women who have children, some of the children are not yours. Remember the story of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr all the time, because we have rights here to fulfill and we need to take care. Sometimes those children who are not yours, they will take care more than the children of your own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, your fathers and your children, لَا تَدْرُونَ, you don't know who are more beneficial to you. So don't put your measurements and your calculations saying that this particular child will help me. There are many secrets which we don't know. Take care of them. And it is here Imam Amirul Mu'minin, when he was instructing Muhammad bin Abi Bakr and other governors, he used to say, you need to share even your look at the people when you sit with them, because this is a sign of justice. So when we talk about the story of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, brothers and sisters, we need to be proper followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam by saying, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we see, we hear what you have done to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, and inshallah we will follow your footsteps, because this is the teaching of Rasulullah when he was given the young Usama, the young Zaid bin Haritha, the father of Usama. Zaid was given to Rasulullah as a slave. Use him as your servant. Rasulullah changed Zaid and he made him as an adopted son. The way Imam Amirul Mu'minin made Muhammad bin Abi Bakr as adopted son, Rasulullah is taking care of Zaid until people, they call Zaid instead of Zaid bin Haritha, they call him Zaid bin Muhammad. Why? Because of that strong link between Rasulullah and Zaid. And not only to say that this is my adopted son, Rasulullah is proposing to his cousin Zainab binti Jahsh for her to be married by ex-slave Zaid, to say what? All the people in the eyes of Allah are equal. And that tarbiyah is the tarbiyah which made to see the soldiers of Islam saying, we are followers of the sunnah of Rasulullah. That is the community which we need to bring back, brothers and sisters, in order for us to live with Rasulullah, with Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, and with Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our du'as and forgive our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them in us on siratuka al-mustaqim. Siratu al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم, برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا الله, we ask you all those brothers and sisters among us who are not feeling well. Ya Allah, cure them bi shafa'ati Muhammad wa al Muhammad. And those who have asked us for dua shafa, let us do dua shafa on their behalf so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cure them bi barakati Muhammad wa al Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma yujibul mudtarra idha da'a wa yakshifu su. 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 Ya Allah, ya Allah, Allahumma kshif anna su'a bima shi'ta wa kayfa shi'ta innaka ala ma tasha'u qadir. Rahimallah man qara al-Fatiha قبلها الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.